From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo urges Health Ministry to streamline clinical management of patients. U.S. President Donald Trump says OPEC Plus planning to cut production 20 million barrels per day. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has called on the Ministry of Health to bring about improvements in the clinical management of COVID-19 patients. As stated by Antara News Agency, the President at the Merdeka Palace Jakarta on Monday during a limited meeting held via video teleconference to discuss countermeasures to handle the COVID-19 pandemic, explained the handling of COVID-19 patients should be completely regulated. COVID-19 patients with mild to moderate symptoms can be treated at the Wisma Atlet Emergency Hospital. At a joint meeting with Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, Ministers of the Advanced Indonesian Cabinet, and Chair of the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, as well as Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Doni Monardo, the President stated that only patients in need of intensive care should be hospitalized. Top global oil producers are considering slashing output by 20 million barrels a day under the terms of a deal to boost prices, U.S. President Donald Trump said on Monday. As quoted by AFP.com on April 13, Trump's remarks came after OPEC producers and their allies agreed on Sunday to cut production by 9.7 million barrels per day, which some analysts feared would be too little to stem the damage from the combination of plunging demand amid the coronavirus pandemic and a price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump tweeted that, having been involved in the negotiations, to put it mildly, the number that OPEC Plus is looking to cut is 20 million barrels a day, not the 10 million that is generally being reported. France extended its nationwide lockdown on Monday for another month in a bid to hold the coronavirus pandemic, as other hard-hit countries considered easing their measures, with hopes rising that death rates may soon plateau. As quoted by AFP.com, more than half of humanity is now under confinement to contain the virus, which has killed more than 117,000 people and infected nearly 1.9 million since emerging in China late last year. Most of the dead are in Europe, but the United States has also been hard hit, particularly New York State, where more than 10,000 have died, close to half of all fatalities in the country. Governments around the world are under pressure to save their economies from total collapse as a result of the mass shutdown of businesses and confinement of people, but officials are also trying to avoid a deadly second wave of the disease. The British government warned Monday it would not be lifting a nationwide lockdown anytime soon as the country remains in the grip of a coronavirus outbreak that has claimed more than 11,000 lives. as quoted by AFP.com, Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab, who is deputizing for Prime Minister Boris Johnson. As he recovers from his own bout of COVID-19, said there were some positive signs of progress. But he warned at daily media briefing that the government is still not past the peak of this virus. The government must decide by Thursday whether to maintain three-week-old rules to keep schools and shops shut and order people to stay in their homes to try to stop coronavirus spreading. India has the largest postal service in the world, and now it is tapping in to help deliver life-saving medicines during a countrywide lockdown aimed at tackling the coronavirus pandemic. As stated by BBC.com, red postal vans are a familiar sight in India. They make thousands of journeys every day, crossing the country's wide network of post offices in 600,000 villages. The postal service does much more than deliver letters and packages. It is also a bank, a pension fund, and a primary savings instrument for millions of Indians. Now it will also be transporting medical equipment and trucks to where they are needed most at a time when transport has come to a standstill. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said the military could be deployed to help tackle the coronavirus outbreak after the number of cases in the country rose sharply. As stated by BBC.com, he told government ministers that all the capabilities of the Russian military can and should be used. His comments came as Russia recorded its largest daily rise in confirmed cases with 2,558 new infections. It brought the total to 18,328, with a vast majority of those in Moscow. President Putin said during a video meeting with top officials on Monday that his side sees that the situation is changing almost daily and, unfortunately, it is not changing for the better. He added the number of sick people is increasing, including more and more cases, specifically the severe form of the disease. The next few weeks will be decisive in many respects. The last item. Head of the Task Force for Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, Donny Monardo, stated that the government has made assurance of food stocks sufficing until the subsequent 3 to 4 months. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Monardo informed the press after a virtual meeting with President Joko Widodo on Monday that the agriculture minister has conveyed that food stocks will remain adequate for the next 3 to 4 months. Thanks God it is safe. Furthermore, he pointed to the prices of some food commodities still being under control. He remarked, though the cost of basic necessities had earlier spiked, the prices of some of them have been under control now. At the meeting, President Joko Widodo has reiterated the criticality of taking requisite steps as a precautionary measure against a likely global food crisis, as cited by the Food and Agriculture Organization FAO, as an upshot of the COVID-19 pandemic. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Government Cuts Budget of Ministries and Institutions to Overcome COVID-19. Well, listener, President Joko Widodo has cut the budget of a number of ministries and institutions to overcome coronavirus disease COVID-19 pandemic. In the Presidential Regulation No. 54/2020 regarding changes in the posture and details of state budget, for the State Budget 2020, Article 1, Paragraph 1 states, to implement the policy and steps needed in handling the COVID-19 pandemic and or facing threats that endanger the national economy and financial system stability, changes were made to posture and details of the State Budget for the 2020 budget. In the Presidential Regulation, which can be accessed from the Minister of Finance website on Sunday, almost all ministers and institutions, including Corruption Eradication Commission, Police, Attorney General Office, until the Supreme Court, experienced budget cuts. Conversely, there are certain ministers and institutions that have increased their budgets, namely the Minister of Health, the Minister of Education and Culture, and the Central Government Expenditure Budget. Article 2, Paragraph 1 states that the central government budget shall be prioritized for its use in the context of handling the COVID-19 pandemic or facing threats that endanger the national economy and or financial system stability. The budget focuses on spending on health, social safety nets, and economic recovery. Within a few fast weeks, the government had taken several major and rapid steps in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition to establishing the large-scale social restriction policy and public health emergency status, the government has provided a budget worth 405.1 trillion rupiah to be allocated for countermeasures for the spread of COVID-19. All this was done to save the nation's children, both in terms of health and economy. In the educational aspect, the government has attempted to help school children who are forced to study at home. There are learning programs for RRI and TVRI. This program is very helpful considering that millions of children throughout Indonesia still find it difficult to get access to the internet. Hopefully, this will get a serious attention of the Minister of Education and Informatics, and especially the Minister of Education and Culture, which is getting an additional budget this year. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today in history, we'll begin with April the 14th, 2010, Yushu earthquake. The 2010 Yushu earthquake occurred on April the 14th, 2010, with a strength of 6.9 on the Richter scale. The earthquake occurred in Yushu, Qinghai, in China, at 7:49 a.m. local time. According to the Xinhua report, 1,944 people were declared dead with 10,000 others injured. The epicenter of the earthquake was in Rima village, Shanglashu, in a remote area near the Tibetan border. The epicenter of the earthquake was in a remote area of the Tibetan plateau that was regularly shaken by earthquakes. Turning to April 14, 2011, the death of Rosihan Anwar.
Haji Rosihan Anwar is a prominent figure in the press, historians, writers, and culturalists of Indonesia who died on April the 14th, 2011. Rosihan Anwar began his journalistic career as a reporter in the Japanese occupation. During the struggle for independence, he was once held captive by Dutch colonizers in Bukit Duri, Jakarta. Later on, in 1961, his newspaper was banned by the authorities. During the new order, he served as general chair of the Indonesian Journalist Association from 1968 until 1974. In 1973, Rosihan Anwar was awarded the Bintang Mahaputra III along with Yaakob Utama. In 1950, with Usmar Ismail, he founded the National Film Company, Perfini. Since the end of 1981, he has promoted Indonesian films abroad and has remained a film critic until the end of his life. I'll conclude with April 12, 2014. Two bombs explode in Abuja, Nigeria. At 6:45 a.m. on April 14, 2014, two bombs exploded at crowded bus station 8 kilometers southwest of downtown Abuja, Nigeria. This attack killed at least 75 people and 141 others were injured. The government suspected Boko Haram as the party responsible for the bombing. Well, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia to the World.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia cooperates with Japan and India to provide medicine for COVID-19. While listener, Indonesia and Japan and India have agreed to enhance cooperation by providing necessary medicines to cure patients exposed to COVID-19. This was done as a form of solidarity and partnership in overcoming the COVID-19 outbreak. As quoted on the website kemlu.go.id, following up the direction of Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, the Indonesian embassies in Tokyo and New Delhi have coordinated with relevant parties in Japan and India to facilitate the realization of procurement cooperation of the medicine in the plan of both government-to-government or G2G and business-to-business or B2B. As stated by Japanese Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu on April 7, the Japanese government is committed to providing effective medicine to a number of priority countries, including Indonesia. In addition, the Indonesian embassy in Tokyo has also facilitated the promotion of cooperation between medicine manufacturer Afigan Fujifilm and Kimia Pharma, which has been appointed by the Minister of State-owned Enterprises for the cooperation in procurement of Afigan medicine from Japan. The delivery of the first phase of Afigan medicine from Japan within G2G and B2B framework is expected to take place this April. To encourage the cooperation of raw materials with India, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia Retno Marsudi specifically discussed the support of the government of India in a telephone conversation with the Indian Foreign Minister Dr. Subrahmanyam Jaishankar. Cooperation between the Minister of Foreign Affairs, representatives of the Republic of Indonesia and in India, the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency BPOM, and the Minister of State-owned Enterprises have approached the procurement of a number of medicines in the B2B framework and ensure delivery can be carried out amid restriction on the movement of people and goods, namely between Dexa Medica Indonesia and IPCA Laboratories India for chloroquine phosphate, Imetco Indonesia and Srini Pharmaceuticals and Cadila Healthcare India for hydrochloroquine sulfate HCS, Indopharma Indonesia and Milan Laboratories, Hetero Labs Limited India for oseltamivir, and Kimia Pharma Indonesia and IPCA Laboratories India for oseltamivir. At present, the B2B cooperation in the procurement of these medicines is being shipped. Minister Retno Marsudi appreciated this cooperation and hoped that this partnership to enhance solidarity and humanity can continue to be improved and developed by many countries as a joint effort to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Something cool.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to Trawang Cave. Trawang Cave is located at Kedungwungu Village, Todanan District, Blora Regency, Central Java Province. The cave has around 32 kilometers north of central city of Blora. It is located at the middle of lush thick forest, which is certainly hidden, but the cave offers the beauty for those who visit it. Trawang Cave has beautiful scenery in sunny weather because limestones on the cave ceiling make sunlight which is entering will raise a very beautiful silhouette shadow. The right time to visit is in the afternoon because the beauty of the cave will be more seen when sunlight enters through small holes on its ceiling. You can take pictures with this special scenery in the cave as the picture's background. To reach the cave, from Blora, you must go to T junction of Ngawen Market, then turn right to Japah, Padaan, Ngapus until arriving at Todanan. At 13 hectares wide Trawang Cave Complex, there are also beautiful 5 caves. Every cave has its own characteristic and beauty. If you visit the tourism site, please spend your time to visit the Trawang Cave, one of 5 Instagrammable caves in Blora, Central Java. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Trawang Cave in Blora. Thank you for listening.
Walaupun orang tak ber- padamu karena dirimu yang selama ini ku cari.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is menanyakan tempat tinggal, or in English, asking where one stays or one lives. Next, I will give an example of conversation on menanyakan tempat tinggal, or in English, asking where you live or where you stay. For your information, in Bahasa Indonesia, it's tinggal. But in English, there's the difference, like to live and to stay. However, in Bahasa Indonesia, both are tinggal. Okay, let's continue then. At the airport, in the immigration section, airport officials questions Kevin about where he is going to stay.
Di mana kamu akan tinggal selama di Indonesia?
Saya akan tinggal di Jakarta.
Di mana tepatnya?
Saya akan tinggal di Rawamangun, Jakarta Timur.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely menanyakan tempat tinggal. Menanyakan tempat tinggal, which means asking where you live or you stay. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Di, which means in. It's a proper preposition of place, so it can also mean on or at. Di mana, which means where. Di mana kamu akan tinggal? Di mana kamu akan tinggal, which means where are you going to stay. Di mana tempat tinggalmu? Di mana tempat tinggalmu, which means where do you live. Di mana tepatnya, which means where exactly. Di Jakarta, which means in Jakarta. Di Rawamangun, which means in Rawamangun. In the conversation, you heard the immigration officer ask Kevin about the place he was going to stay. di mana kamu akan tinggal selama di Indonesia? Di mana kamu akan tinggal selama di Indonesia, which means where are you going to stay while in Indonesia? To ask where you live or your address, you can use the question word di mana, which means where. An example of its use is, di mana kamu akan tinggal? Di mana kamu akan tinggal, which means where are you going to stay? To respond to that question, you can use the prefix di, followed by the exact name, like di Jakarta. Di Jakarta, which means in Jakarta. The prefix is used to declare a place. Notice the following example. Di mana kamu tinggal? Di mana kamu tinggal, which means where do you live? Di Jakarta. Di Jakarta, which means in Jakarta. When asked about where they live, Indonesians usually answer by giving the location in full or just mentioning the name of the area. In order to get the information you want, you should use a specific question sentence. For example, when you want to find out your friend's address, you can ask, "Di mana alamat rumahmu?" Di mana alamat rumahmu, which means what is your home address. However, if you want to know the area of residence, you can ask, "Di mana kamu tinggal?" Di mana kamu tinggal, which means where do you live. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to an example of the conversation once more.
Di mana kamu akan tinggal selama di Indonesia?
Saya akan tinggal di Jakarta.
Di mana tepatnya?
Saya akan tinggal di Rawamangun, Jakarta Timur.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn more about Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Teleponku membuatku tersenyum di pagi hari. Kau bercerita semalam kita bertemu dalam mimpi. Entah mengapa aku merasakan hadirmu di sini. Tawa candamu menghibur saatku sendiri. Aku di sini dan kau di sana, hanya berjumpa via suara. Namun ku selalu menunggu saat kita akan berjumpa. Meski kau kini jauh di sana, kita memandang langit yang sama. Jauh di mata namun dekat di hati. Dering teleponku membuatku tersenyum di pagi hari. Tawa candamu menghibur saat sendiri. Oh, aku di sini dan kau di sana, hanya berjumpa via suara. Namun ku selalu menunggu saat kita akan berjumpa.
mata namun dekat di hati.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present you a Malay song titled Insan dan Bunga. The song Insan dan Bunga is a nostalgic song. Through the lyrics, the writer of the song likens human life like flowers. Life is not always the same. It is sometimes happy, sad, or neglected. When flowers bloom, park looks beautiful and people feel happy surrounded it. But when the flowers fall and wither, those are no longer interested to that flowers, likewise the human life. Well, listener, now let's listen to the song Insan dan Bunga sung by Tiara Mon. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Drive me to the town. Sleep with me tonight. She's my lonely wine. Nothing is forever. Nothing is for real. Do you have to leave me? Why don't you just kill me?
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.